Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to tell you that you can radically and permanently change your relationship to food and yourself without ever going on another diet. That means no more counting calories or carbs or fat grams. You really can lose weight and gain health all without ever going on another diet. So I am so excited to introduce you to my guest today. Kelly Gunter once weighed nearly 400 pounds. Unbelievable. People were always telling her, "You have such a pretty face," sort of suggesting that her face was pretty and good and her body not so much. And she imagined that when she lost weight, she would find happiness and self-esteem. And she did lose weight. She lost 243 pounds. 243 pounds. Amazing, right? And guess what? She did not get happy. Instead, losing that weight actually set her on a path to self-discovery. She eventually did find her way to happiness, but had nothing to do with the number on the scale. She wrote a memoir about her experiences. Here it is, if you can see me, if you guys are watching Facebook Live, if you're listening, find it on Amazon or on kellygunter.com. She wrote a memoir about her experiences called You Have Such a Pretty Face, and I am so excited to have her with us in the studio today. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So the question that everybody is asking, and I'm already getting a caller, so let's see what this caller wants to know. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Kelly. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, Nina. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
I'm Sue from Long Island, New York, and I'm really excited to talk to you. I read your book overnight, and then I passed it on to my daughters, and I've struggled with my weight my entire life. And food was my only comfort. I saw myself on every page in your book, and what impressed and inspired me the most was how open, real, and honest you were about your journey, because I was a closeted eater and always in denial about what I was doing and always making excuses why I was gaining weight. But my journey now is a spiritual one, not only to be the healthiest person I could be, but to be the most honest person I could be. And that seems to be working for me better than anything. So I thank you so much for writing that book and for sharing it with the world. And that's basically what I want.
Whoop. Uh-oh. Sorry, Sue, you got cut off. I'm not sure if that was from our end or yours. It might have been from our end because I'm looking at weird things happening on my screen. But first of all, we wish you much luck with your journey. Kelly, you know, one of the things that she said really resonates, which is that, you know, it's not what you're eating that's really the problem, right? You've got to figure out why.
Right.
But before we get to the why, everyone wants to know, how did you lose 243 pounds?
Well, I had weight loss surgery. I had the duodenal switch, and it's actually the biliopancreatic diversion with the duodenal switch. And so I lost the 243 pounds in 13 months. And after that, then I've been able to... Oh, wait. What's wrong?
Sorry, we're having some kind of technical issue here. Okay.
Is that better?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay, so I had the biliopancreatic diversion with the duodenal switch. I lost 243 pounds in roughly 14 months. And so following that, I've kept it off now for 16 years. So that's how initially I lost the weight. Of course, I tried everything. I've tried every possible... Everything that's out there, Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, everything I had tried, but it hadn't worked for me the way that the surgery ultimately did.
And you had the expectation, and by the way, what my engineer was saying was that I had put the wrong... Oh, here we have another call. No, we don't have another caller. Anyway, one of the things that you talk about is how you were actually consciously wanted to lose weight, mm-hmm. but there was another part of you that was afraid to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit about that? Because that really struck me, because you talk about that really early on in the book. You say, I desperately wanted to lose the weight. I was also terrified. At the time, I didn't even realize what terrified me.
Right. I think it's we are able to use our extra weight as a defense against the rest of the world. When we're hurting and when we're trying our best to feel worthy, when we really don't have that self-worth, then it's easy to protect ourselves from the world with layers of fat.
Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Kelly.
Hi, Dr. Nina. I'm so excited that you have Kelly Gunter on your show.
I'm so excited that you're excited. What's your name?
I am so excited. My name is actually Laura Preston, and I love her. I'm so excited you're sharing her message. I had the pleasure of meeting her at a huge medical conference last fall, and I work for a huge vitamin company, Celebrate Vitamins, and I came around the corner and I found her and I thought, what is this woman doing at this big weight loss bariatric show? And I met her and she gave me a copy of her book, and we have done so many exciting things with her. But I'm so excited you're sharing her with your community, because her message, why it's so about weight loss, it's so what you're all about beyond that. Like, it's a message of faith, it's a message of hope, it's a message of health. And she's just such an inspiration. I just wanted to personally call and thank you for showcasing her.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I mean, what really struck me when I read the book was that we're in total alignment, that it's not what you're eating that's the problem. It's what's eating at you. By the way, we have a lot of callers coming in. If I'm not able to answer all the calls, if I'm on a call with one person, I will get to you as soon as I can. But Laura, thank you so much. I just met Kelly last night. I've been a fan of her since I read her book, and it's my honor to kind of help her spread the message to the world.
Well, you're such an inspiration, and the fact that you got a copy of her book and read it and you're sharing it with the community, I just wanted to call in and personally thank you, because I've had the pleasure of meeting her, but the fact that you're sharing her with everyone, it's just such a huge gift to anyone that struggles with emotional eating or anything like that, so thank you.
Thank you, Laura. All right. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Kelly.
Thank you.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Nancy, and I live in Seattle. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Nancy from Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello. I wanted to tell you, and the reason I'm calling is because I lived my whole life, and I was sexually abused as a child. By neighbor older boys, but I never told anyone. I did tell my sister once, and you know, she broke the boy's arm, but I was for 3 or 4 years, and I hid it, and I was bulimic. And when I got older and a huge stress came, my daughter as a baby was diagnosed with cancer. And that's when I started eating, because I couldn't get rid of it anymore. I had no other outlet. I would not drink because I have alcoholism in my family. I have a brother that's got issues. And I couldn't do drugs because I had to be there for my daughter. And until I read Kelly's book about 9 months ago, and I'm 58 years old, okay? I'm not a kid. I did not, when the Me Too movement came out, I wanted to say me too, but I was afraid to. You know how many people hold these things in? And when I read her book, I was able to come out and tell people.
It's a very powerful.
And I did find out that the people who hurt me, one was kicked out of the country for abusing girls and when he was an adult. So I am so glad that that happened. But until that day, and I have had weight loss surgery, and did really well, lost about 120-some pounds. I had tried everything. My only problem was I still have not gotten to goal because I never dealt with what was dealing inside. Like anyone with an addiction, unless you deal with the reason, and Kelly's book is what helped me.
Oh, thank you for that. I so appreciate you sharing that, and I'm so sorry for the trauma that you experienced, both in your childhood and losing your child as well. And I'm just so thankful that in the pages you were able to find comfort and know that, you know, there's so much hope and that you're not alone.
Oh, and but since I've read the book, and it's not a book about weight loss, it's about her journey and how she handled everything. And the title of it, I had never heard of you before. I'd never seen anything. And I was in a bookstore, and I was reading, and I went, you have such a pretty face. I used to hear that all the time. When my daughter was sick, people would come and see me, oh, but Nancy, you have such a pretty face. You just need to lose. First, it was about 25 pounds. Then you'll be fine. Then it was 50 pounds. And then after about 50 pounds, people stopped saying things and just saying, I'm so sorry for you. And but I kept hearing that comment, and it made me sick.
Right.
Because I was not good enough. It's like in Hollywood. Look at Elizabeth Taylor. She did all these things, but she got fat, and everyone zoomed in on her.
Well, I think that often people don't recognize, and I hear this a lot from my patients, those who have been, say, anorexic, in which case when they were very thin, people would say, oh, what's wrong? What's wrong? You have a problem. Something's wrong. Tell us. Share it with us. But when they gain weight, when they went from anorexia to binge eating, which often happens, by the way, nobody said, oh, what's wrong? What's wrong? You've gained weight. What? Talk to us. They said, oh, you've gained weight. And so it's really important to know that I think Kelly put it as your weight was a shield, protecting you from the world.
Oh, exactly.
And you too, Nancy. But you can
it protected me. I remember when I worked at a giant airplane company that's based in Seattle. I don't want to say the name, you know, just in case. Especially in L.A., because you guys are brand X down there. I know Boeing owns you, but oops, I said the word. Anyway, I worked there, and I kept gaining weight because men took me seriously. They didn't. I went from having my bosses asking me out and I was married to all of a sudden I could walk into a meeting and I could tell off whoever needed to be told off. And I was respected because I became not a sexual being. I became just a large woman that nobody wanted to mess with. But when men, there's such a stereotype between men and women, and Kelly really helped me with that in her book.
Nancy, I'm so glad that you called, and I really appreciate you sharing your story with us as well.
I do, too. Thank you, Nancy, for reaching out.
Anytime, honey. You just get that book on as far as you can. This is an amazing book, and anyone listening, if you have any kind of issues, man or woman, read her book. She will help you uncover whatever is there. I don't know how she does it, but she has such a way with words that she makes them, and they get right into your mind and your soul, and you realize, wow, this is where it's at. This is what I need help with.
Thank you.
I totally agree. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Also, if you are listening and you are able to tune into Facebook Live, we are you can see us on Facebook Live at the LA Talk Radio page. Afterwards, it will be on my page and Kelly's page, and we'll be sharing it. I wanted to also share an email that someone asked. Well, two questions. One question from Christine in San Francisco was, how have you maintained this weight loss for 16 years? So let's start with that one.
Well, of course, the surgery I had is a malabsorptive surgery, so that helps. A lot of people still do struggle with regain, even with the surgery I had. And I believe that what has aided me so much in being able to keep the weight off is the fact that I healed what caused me to gain in the first place. So once I was able to finally disclose the trauma that I experienced as a child, and then start the healing journey back from that, that has been what has allowed me to care about what I put in my body, care about how I take care of my body and just care about myself. When you are encumbered with such a low self-esteem and you don't think you have any worth, not a low self-worth, but worthless, it's, you don't care what you put in your body. You don't care if you're healthy or not healthy. It doesn't matter. So once I was able to heal that and begin to develop self-esteem and self-love, that makes it so much easier. I don't have to use anything for comfort.
Well, and maybe you can comfort yourself with words.
Right.
I mean, one of the things that really struck me in the book, you write, I had been using food as a comfort for years. When I was sad, angry, depressed, or even happy, I would eat. The emotion really didn't matter. Food and eating was my way of dealing with it. So when you are able to respond to yourself in a loving way, I know you write a lot about your son, you're very loving to mm-hmm. your son, but not but sort of absent when it came to you. When you learn to be just as loving to yourself as you were to others in your life, you were able to comfort yourself that way.
Right, and exactly.
That's the key.
Right. I mean, we're our own worst enemy. And when you learn to love yourself, then the biggest enemy you have is erased.
Yeah, which is often just eating to get away from your own self-critical, judgmental, awful voice.
Right.
Which may be a voice you learned from other people. It may be a voice that you developed because of some trauma in your past.
Right.
Yeah. So here's the other question that Andrea asks. She says, did Kelly have to go through skin removal surgery? She looks great, so
thank
I'm assuming
you.
She did. I understand that it's a huge ordeal. And you have some photos in the book that are really remarkable about the difference between before and after the skin removal surgery. Can you maybe talk a little bit about that?
It is a huge undertaking, and I can say unequivocally the skin removal was far more painful than the bariatric surgery, more painful than childbirth. It's an incredibly painful process, and it takes a long time. I was very blessed. Unfortunately, there are a lot of plastic surgeons or even bariatric surgeons who say, I remove the skin, but they don't really, that's not their area of expertise. And so so many people have come to me who have had terrible results, and they feel that they look worse than they did before they had their skin removed. I was blessed with a fabulous plastic surgeon, Curtis Martin in Cincinnati, Ohio. If any of you are looking for a just grade A plastic surgeon who is especially educated in removing skin, he is the one. The pictures are in the book of... I have before and afters, before the skin removal and after, and making sure that you do your research. It's a big undertaking. Do your research. Don't just jump at the first person who says, I can do this, and it's not, you know, it's cheaper than someone else, because there are so many complications people get from going to surgeons who really are not qualified to do the work.
And I think it also speaks to this idea that if you change your outside, you will change your inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for a while, this is what you thought. You lost all this weight. You didn't feel differently. You got the skin removal surgery. You didn't feel differently. You used other coping strategies other than food, but inside you didn't feel differently. And one of the things that really struck me was that you said, every time I looked in the mirror, I saw something I thought needed to be fixed. It wasn't just about my scars. I hated my scars, but it went deeper than that. I would pick myself apart in the mirror and want to fix things that had nothing to do with scars. And that's because, as you discover through your journey, and why this book is so fundamentally powerful, is that it's really the inner wound that had to heal. And to his credit, Dr. Martin refused to do these surgeries.
He did.
Yeah.
He said to me, he told me one day, he had a very frank conversation with me and said, I'm not going to do these surgeries. You have to make peace. You have to make peace with yourself and with your body. And of course, it wasn't what I wanted to hear, but he was so accurate in that. And I was just trying to at that point, I still hadn't healed what was going on inside of me. So I kept thinking, well, if I could just get this fixed, then I will finally be happy. I'll finally find joy. And it was going, I'd still be in that line having surgery, trying to find my happiness.
And of course, that begs the question, what was your path to true happiness? Because we were talking last night about the weed root analogy, right? If you just keep plucking weeds, they grow back. So you pluck the overeating, binge eating weed, and the shopping, you know, one grows back, right. Or something else takes its place. You've got to get to that proverbial root, which is underground. You can't see it, just like unconsciously. Sometimes you can't discern something, but it's there, and you've got to dig it out, bring it into the light of day, and get rid of it. So for you, your journey was really inward.
Exactly, exactly. And through events that I discuss in the book, once I had finally disclosed, I had held on to the secret of the fact that I had been sexually abused for many years of my childhood by several people, and I had not disclosed that. And it was something that I held inside of me that I was never going to release. And the fact I worked in the field with abused children, I was trying to heal everybody, trying to heal myself. And so it wasn't until I finally disclosed that, after years of self-destructive behaviors and basically ruining my life, I had nothing left to do except to say, this is what's going on with me. And it wasn't that simple. It's a very long process, and it took a lot of pain for me to finally say. We hold on to that shame, and that's the message that I really want people to know. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, or what anyone did to you. You are strong, you are powerful, you are worthy. And that shame is something victims don't have to live with and should be able to release. But for some reason, it's incredibly powerful, and we hold on to it and we allow it to destroy us. And so everyone has their own path they walk. Everyone has their own way of finding their own way. And for me, once I finally disclosed that, it really was going back to ground zero, if you will, and relearning every single part of my life, relearning how to be vulnerable and how to trust and how to love in a healthy way. And it's not an easy path, but it's one that has brought me to a place of true peace. And this is who I am. And the song that says, stand in the light and be seen as you are, it's a beautiful thing. It's a peace that nothing else in the world can bring.
And you are not what happened to you.
Right.
Shame comes about because something happens to us and we think that somehow we created it, even though intellectually we know we didn't.
Right.
Or that it's infected us, or that somehow we bear the shame of what was done to us.
Right.
And then shame of abuse or shame of maltreatment of some kind, often abuse, becomes the shame of weight. And that's why it's hard to lose weight, because on the one hand, you can have the fantasy that you'll lose your shame. But on the other hand, another part of you knows that even if you do, the shame will be with you. Hi, caller. Welcome. You're on with Dr. Nina and Kelly. What's your name?
Allison Marshall.
Hi, Allison. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Do you have a question or comment for Kelly?
I have a comment.
Go ahead. We're all ears.
We're all ears. I just wanted to say that I've known Miss Kelly ever since she and I were in junior high school. We grew up together. And I'm just so incredibly proud of her. She's the real deal. There is absolutely nothing fake about Kelly. She's honest, and she is a true warrior. Once she's your friend, you are never in a fight alone. And I just love that about Kelly. And Dr. Nina, I really appreciate you having her on your show today so the whole world can see what a lovely person she is.
Thank you.
Everyone should have a friend like Allison. Wow.
Everyone should have a friend like Kelly. Oh. She's awesome. She's truly awesome. She's a gift from God, and I just truly appreciate her. I could call her at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she would ask, "Where do you need me, and what do I need to bring?"
And you love her the same now as you did when she was almost 400 pounds, as you did when she wasn't in junior high. You know that we often
Absolutely.
We think we'll be more lovable if we lose weight. So not true.
Yes, and that's the way Kelly loves too. I mean, if Kelly has nothing fake about her, she just, like, if I'm wearing a beautiful outfit, she won't say, "Oh, girl, I'd look better in that than you." No, she's like, "Oh, girl, you are rocking that. You go." She's one of a kind. There is no hate in this woman. She's just full of love and support, and I've never met anyone like her. She's a true gem.
Allison, you are so sweet. Thank you so much. We're going to hop on another call, but I so appreciate you calling and extolling your wonderful friend's virtues.
Thank you.
I agree, and I've only known her like 24 hours. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Kelly.
Hi. My name is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. Wendy from Facebook.
Hi.
Is this Wendy from Facebook?
Did I see this on Facebook?
No, I said, is this Wendy from Facebook?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Well, welcome, Wendy, from wherever you are.
I Googled it. I did everything. I was trying to listen to the show, and I tried to Google it. I looked everywhere, and I couldn't find it.
Well, you found it. You obviously did find it, because here we all are. So,
well,
welcome.
I saw the post that you had posted that you were going to be on. So, of course, I had to call in, show support for my girl Kelly and her wonderful book.
So, have you read the book?
I have read the book. It's so inspiring and inspirational and just all around amazing.
Oh, thank you. What was your favorite part of the book?
Well, first of all, your bravery, that you even came forward with a lot of the things that happened in your life. I related a lot to the book as I yo-yo dieted, didn't like my body in high school, was always trying to transform myself. As you put it, I didn't like the house I was living in. I related a lot to the book. A lot of the things that happened in your life have also happened in my life. So it actually, things that happened to me 30 plus years ago, I'm just now talking about with my therapist after reading your book, because it is so hard to talk about these things and to bring them up, because you just kind of want to leave them buried and kind of forget it ever happened. And, you know, so it definitely touched base a lot with me. It made me realize, you know, that, there are people that, you know, you're going to lose along the way, and that, that there, no matter what, there's always going to be jealousy. It's sad, but true. But just the transformation itself, looking at your pictures I give you a lot of credit for even telling your story, because it's so inspirational. And, you know, I think I promote the book because I think that it's one that everybody, not even just having the weight loss surgery, anyone who's dealt with any type of trauma in their life should read this book.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to add, and by the way, to the caller who's trying to call in now, hold on, we'll get you as soon as we're done with this call. But I just want to add that the title of this book, You Have Such a Pretty Face, it says, A Memoir of Trauma, Hope, and the Joy That Follows Survival. She doesn't mention weight loss in this, because this is not about weight loss. This is about gaining self-esteem, gaining self-love.
Yes, most definitely.
And
most
Wendy.
Definitely. And knowing your self-worth. And that's something that even after having weight loss surgery, I've struggled with, you know. And, you know, I'm finding that it, you know, as you say, it is, we're always working on ourselves. We're always trying to better ourselves inside and outside. And, you know, it is a constant struggle. And, you know, it is coming through, you know, falling to your knees and then rising above. And we're never at the top. You know, we're always continuing to climb to the top.
And Wendy, I think it's powerful that you said the abuse or whatever your situation was that you went through in your childhood. You said, I just tried to, like, not talk about that and push it to the bottom for 30 years. And our soul just won't let us do that. It either, some people listen to their soul and they try to figure out what's going on and heal. And other people just continue to kind of rampage through life with all kinds of really destructive behaviors because they aren't able at that point to get the healing they need. And so I thought it was powerful when you said, I'd not talked about that for 30 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, after reading the book and seeing that, you know, you know, that you have to start the healing process. You have to come to terms with, you know, what has happened. And you know, we have to heal our souls. We have to do that in order to, you know, become better, be, you know, gain our self-worth, gain self-esteem, and those are very important things.
That's the key.
You don't have, people are going to walk all over you. And let me tell you, Kelly, if I had a penny for every time I heard, oh, you have such a pretty face.
I know.
If you just lost some weight. And sadly, 3/4 of the time, that came from family.
Mm-hmm.
So that was even more hurtful than anything.
Right. And the person who
I would
said,
be a millionaire.
Oh, for sure. The person who said it to me, the one time I remember specifically, actually said, well, it's just such a shame because you have such a pretty face. So my entire existence is a shame because I'm not packaged in a body you find attractive. And that was something that you don't forget those words. You don't forget those
words. No, you don't. You know, or the whispers as you walk by, or, you know, all of it. None of it. And I have to say one thing, when I read the book, for some reason before I got the book, I thought you had the sleeve. And until I read the book, I didn't realize you had the duodenal switch.
Right.
So I, my doctor actually thinks the sleeve is the Cadillac of bariatric surgery.
Well, every surgeon
has
their own preference.
Obviously, you've had a tremendous, weight loss, keeping it off. You've done well. So, I mean, I think what works for everyone is different. I think how you follow your doctor's instructions and all that, you know, also goes.
Absolutely. I say in the book, I'm not a person trying to talk people into having surgery. I constantly say there are infinite ways to find your own way. And whatever way is working for you that's healthy and promoting your best you, I support people in doing that.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think that, and I absolutely think that's true. And, you know, that also is powerful. You know, I did the yo-yo dieting like you. I lost weight 3 times on my own, lost over 100 pounds, but it always came back plus 20 or 30. And
that's
because
dieting.
That's
because dieting.
Finally said, hey,
Wendy, that's because dieting makes you gain weight.
Right.
And if you don't figure out what's eating at you, you continue on that. So ultimately, it doesn't matter. Sleeve, you know, your type of surgery, Weight Watchers, whatever. If you don't deal with what's eating at you and find a new way of relating to yourself, you're going to be stuck in that cycle. But Wendy, thank you so much for calling and sharing your thoughts and your story. I'm so happy that Kelly's book has made such an impact on you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that is why I really wanted to have you on the show, because your book is not about, hey, lose weight and get happy. Your book is about, hey, I lost a ton of weight. I didn't get happy. I need to figure out what was going on and why I was eating, not what I was eating.
And because I think people go into it, and no matter how many times they say to you, losing weight isn't going to magically make you happy and isn't going to magically fix your marriage or whatever issues you're having. I was one of those people. I sat across the desk. I listened. I said, I know. But in my mind, I was thinking, yes, it is. Because if I lost weight, I'd have more self-esteem. I'd be more confident. It would fix everything. And it fixes a lot of health issues. But it doesn't fix the emotional issues. And I know not every single person who is overweight has trauma or has the emotional damage that I had or that a lot of people have. But it's very difficult to be morbidly obese in this world and not have trauma. Just being morbidly obese, people treat you so horrifically that in itself causes trauma.
And you know, there are two kinds of trauma. Often people think of trauma as something like what happened to you, just a horrific abuse and series of just awful, awful events that are like a big steak knife through your heart, right?
Right.
So that's the big trauma. And then there are the other kind of trauma is 1,000 small cuts.
Right.
And people who have the 1,000 small cuts often say, well, that wasn't so bad. It's not like someone, you know, sexually abused me in childhood, you know.
Right.
No, but you were neglected or you were discriminated against or you were not allowed to be who you genuinely are. You know, something happened that was traumatic. So maybe it's not a big steak knife through your heart. Maybe it's 1,000 small cuts, but either way, needs your attention.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's really, like you said, so many people have focused on the weight loss part of the book, and the subtitle is A Memoir of Trauma, Hope, and the Joy That Follows Survival. And when I wrote the subtitle, I really thought, what has my journey been this far? And it's hard to all of a sudden open up the wounds from the past. I say constantly, it's really difficult to get over a fear of the dark when your monsters were real. But eventually, what gets rid of monsters is bringing them into the light. And so for me, while it's not on any level an easy journey, it was the best journey of my life.
The transformation that people see is truly stunning. You know, how you look before and how you look now is an incredible transformation visually, but the true transformation came within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's easier to focus on what you ate than to think about painful things, feel upset, awful feelings. It's easier to focus on food.
Right.
But your transformation was really facing within and finding a new way of being with yourself. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Kelly. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. Welcome.
How are you guys doing? Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Jessica.
So I have a question, not a comment, just a question. So I read your book, You Have Such a Pretty Face, and I'm an ER nurse, so I'm a healthcare provider. I see lots of patients that come in that have had bariatric surgeries, and normally, I mean, they come in complaining of dehydration or not being able to follow their prescribed diet afterwards. But after reading your book, I kind of realized that there's a lot more that goes into having surgeries than than just the medical side of it. So it's more emotional. There's more human experience to it. So I was wondering, as a nurse, as a healthcare provider, how I could better relate to those patients and care for them so that, you know, they are healing more from the inside emotionally. I feel that has a lot to do with it.
Right. I think that's a spectacular question. I think...
I know, Jessica, wow, I bow to you. How sensitive and amazing of you.
And that you want to be, that you want to approach your patients with that in mind is compelling to me. I think the number one thing that I can say as a person when I would go to be treated by anyone was compassion and kindness, and the fact that they didn't make me feel like I was worthless, because so many do. So many people, I could be there for a broken leg. I never had a broken leg. It's just an example. But I'm just saying, I could be there for a tooth. Well, if you weren't morbidly obese, this wouldn't be the problem. And when you're presented with an illness or a pain or something that's wrong, you're scared. As a obese person, I didn't even want to go to the doctor because more shame, more like, here you are. The first thing I had to do is get on that scale. Literally, I would lay awake the night before because I didn't want to get on that scale. I'd try to think of everything I could do to not get on the scale. Oh, I sprained my ankle. I can't sit on the scale. I would try everything because I didn't want that shame that you get from the medical assistant or the nurse. And so for me, I mean, obviously I'm not in the medical field, but I can say from a patient perspective, I think the kindest thing you can do is make that person feel worthy, and make, even for just those 5 minutes, because that kindness matters. I write in the book about when I was in intensive care, and the nurses in intensive care, I couldn't speak, I was on life support, but it's one memory that I have of them saying the Lord's Prayer and holding hands in a circle around me because I wanted the Lord's Prayer said. And that kindness is not forgotten. So that's what I would say. Nurses make such a difference, good ones.
And to see your patient, which, Jessica, it sounds like you're already here, but to see your patient as a patient, not an obese patient or a heavy patient, to see them as a person,
right,
rather than a weight, is so powerful.
Absolutely, right. Thank you
awesome.
For that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Jessica. I love that question. I love the sensitivity behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because so many people do sort of blame. There's a lot of blame going on. Like, oh,
right.
It's your fault. Or patients will come in to see me and say, well, I did this to myself. It's my fault. And they buy into the shame. And I always say, if you're doing something you don't want to do, or you're not doing something you want to do, there's always a reason for it. And you got to be curious and investigate and be like a detective of your psyche.
Right.
What's eating at you?
Right. What is really driving this unhealthy behavior that on my own I'm not capable of changing at the moment? What's driving the bus?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or the bullet train.
Right. <you know? laughs> Getting ready to crash into something. And I can testify on my own behalf that when you finally derail in that self-destruction, it's an incredibly painful place to be. You find out who your real friends are. You find out who loves you. And when you are surrounded in the ruins of your own self-destruction, you realize who's on your team. And the number might be shockingly small. It was for me. But I had a few warriors, and I'm incredibly thankful for them. And when it comes to my life, those are the people I want on my team. I want the people who have scars. I want the people who have made mistakes but learned lessons and are better people because of it. I don't want the people who claim to be perfect and live their life in secrecy. I want the people who have been through things and came out a better person because they fought. They fought for a life that they wanted to have, and it isn't easy. It isn't easy. That's why I fight for people so hard. I don't like bullies. I don't like people who shame other people with a simple look will do it. You can walk in and someone gives you a, you know, right away, they're disapproving of me. And so that's why my mission is to reach every person I can who's hurting.
And also help people not bully themselves.
Exactly.
Because that shame then becomes self-directed and sort of identify with the aggressor, with the bully, with the mean people, and then you treat yourself that way. And then the only thing that helps you get away from that is food.
Right.
And one of the things that was interesting in your story was after you couldn't turn to food, you found other ways of coping that were also not so healthy, shall we say. And then absolutely. You discovered that you mentioned secrets just a couple minutes ago. You had to realize that you had to shine a light, bring the monsters into the light, bring the secrets into the light, mm-hmm. and really own it and process it, work through it. And the secret, of course, was the shame of abuse.
Right. And it wasn't quick. I say in one of my recent blogs, I said, time doesn't heal anything. We heal things. We have to work on our own hurts. We are the ones who do it. People mistakenly say all the time, well, time heals all wounds. No, time doesn't heal anything at all. And what you were saying about bullying ourselves, I said that as well in a recent blog, that you can't bully yourself into feeling better. You can't right. do that. And so exactly, we're our own worst enemy. I mean, it's the truth. And when we really should be able to lift each other up, sadly, a lot of times the people who, the one caller said, family, had their negative comments to make. And so in the middle of all of that, somehow we're supposed to find a way to heal and get better and feel great about ourselves. And so I never try to minimize how hard it is. But I think even just saying, maybe she's onto something and I should start to find something about myself to love. That's a start.
Yeah.
That's a start.
And we find the evidence we look for.
Right? Exactly.
We get used to looking in the mirror and because, we're influenced by media and magazines and everything, we get used to looking in the mirror and comparing ourselves to Photoshopped 12-year-olds. So if you're looking in the mirror and going, well, I don't look like that, you're always going to feel bad. But if you look in the mirror with the intention of, I'm going to find something I like about just my physical self.
Right.
Yes, you're a good person, you have a nice smile, you have all of that, but we also need to look at we're physical. We need to find things we like about our physical bodies instead of always finding fault.
Right. And as women, we're so highly competitive. And I always encourage everyone to hold each other up. In my book, I say that my Nani, I talk about Nani in there all the time, my precious grandmother. And she always said, saying someone else is ugly doesn't make you any prettier.
God bless you, Nani.
Nani was a G.
So
Nani,
true.
She had, so many of those one-liners, all powerful, all the time. She also said, blowing out someone else's candle doesn't make your shine any brighter. And it's, people have been saying those things for years, but when you grow up and you hear them from your person, that's an incredible way to grow up. And you have to really think about it. In the mean girl age that we live in, why? Before you start to say it, before it comes out of your mouth, why are you saying what you're about to say? And stop yourself.
Whether you're saying it to others or to yourself.
Right. Right. You can be a mean girl to yourself.
And when you're mean to yourself, you're more likely to accept mean behavior from others.
Absolutely.
It just seems like, oh, that person knows me really well, right?
I deserve
That's familiar.
That.
I mm-hmm. deserve that. But when you are kind and supportive and loving, and when you protect yourself, someone treats you in a bad way, you're going to be like, oh no,
right?
Not going there with you,
right? Would you say that to your best friend?
Right. So if you could go back in time to right before you had the surgery, which saved your life.
It did.
And almost killed you.
did that as well.
What would you want that Kelly to know? What was going to surprise her about your journey?
Like, that just gets me emotional. Like, I literally was ready to cry. And I have to kind of take a breath for a second. I would tell her, just like I say this in the book, but it is so true. I would tell her what hope stands for, and that is, hold on, pain ends. Like, don't give up. even when you see no way that it can possibly be different. When I laid in my bed every night, almost 400 pounds, I would dream of being someone else. I would just lay there and fall asleep every night, visualizing what I wanted to be. I didn't have any idea how it could ever happen, but it was literally the only thing that gave me any, it was an escapism. I could fall asleep thinking, I'm going to look like this one day, or I'm going to walk in and people will turn and look for a good reason, not because they're making fun of me. And so that person was in so much pain, but fighting so hard, trying so hard, I would tell her, hold on, pain ends.
I think I'm getting a little emotional. That's so, I know. Oh, that's so moving and beautiful. Kelly Gunter, thank you so much for being on the show today. You've inspired so many people, and I love hearing from your readers and people out there who are, you know, who are getting your message of hope and finding hope for themselves. So for those who don't have the book and want to know more about you and your blog, how do people find you?
Well, my website is youhavesuchapprettyface.com, or it's also kellygunter.com, but everybody typically misspells my name, so youhavesuchapprettyface.com. They both take you to the same place. My blog is available on the website, and my blog is Ramblings from the Homecoming Queen of Crazy Town. And my book is available on Amazon and also Barnes & Noble online.
And there's another book coming, is there not?
There is another book in the process, and that is The Homecoming Queen of Crazy Town.
Well, I can't wait to read it and have you come back. She flew all the way from Ohio to be on the show today, which is such an honor for me.
Thank you.
You are a beautiful and inspiring person, and I'm so glad you were here.
Oh, well, thank you. I've had a wonderful time, a really wonderful time. I think I'm moving to L.A.
All right. That would be great. We would love to have her. All right. And that's our show for today. I will see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific here on L.A. Talk Radio. If you like my philosophy and you want to know more, I have lots of free giveaways, guides, and other food for thought on my website, winthedietwar.com. I'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.